This is from Disunited Nations by Peter Zion. Time erodes everything, countries included. Surviving history requires a delicate balance of factors that most of the world lacks. Border zones that are difficult to cross and an interior zone where it is easy to move people and goods and ideas around. Such a mix of crunchy and gooey is rare. Most locations are either so crunchy throughout that the locals don't get along, or so gooey on the edges that the neighbors' armies like to host block parties on your lawn. Historically speaking, most countries have been small, brittle, fragile, and above all, short-lived. If countries cannot arise or thrive or survive, history tends to stand still. But that is not true everywhere. There's a handful of countries whose geography is in balance. These countries defy time and so have dominated much of human history. Let's start at the beginning. The First Age, Empire. It all comes down to a pair of concepts we all instinctually grasp but spend little time pondering. The first is continuity. The idea that the positive things that make your life today possible, health, shelter, clean water, food, education, clothing, a functioning government, and so on, will still be around tomorrow. No brigands will steal your cow. No dryad will kidnap your children. No horde will descend from the distant horizon and burn down your local Walmart. The modern equivalent? Flip a switch and the lights turn on. Each and every time. Historically speaking, continuity is a rare, precious thing. Few countries boast the sort of crusty borders that enable them to be protected from outside threats for more than a few decades at a time. For most, going a few years is about all they can hope for. Not all threats to continuity are from bullets or sharp sticks. Drought and flood can wreck a system just as easily, or a rampaging homegrown mob, or a coup, or particularly crappy leadership. And never underestimate the power of a good plague. Breaks in continuity shatter institutions, disrupt food production, wreck infrastructure, break educational coherence, and severely damage cultures. Recovery is, of course, possible, but in many ways, every time a country suffers an invasion or civil war or coup or famine, it must start over. The second concept, economies of scale, is even more straightforward. Imagine you've been tasked to build a computer. All the necessary information and equipment has been provided for you to melt and purify sand into silicon and draw it into crystals and slice them into wafers and score them with acid and lay them with metal and assemble them into circuit boards and so on. How long would it take you to do it? How long would it take you to learn all the steps independently? A lifetime? 10? And then at the end of it all, you'd have one measly computer. Be honest with me here. How long did it take you to put together a piece of furniture that was designed, sourced, and fabricated by someone else, and then transported to you with pre-drilled holes and ready-made, picture-heavy instructions?